Happy Wednesday, family, and welcome to WWT Live. Today on the show, we're talking about a new addition to the Hall of Fame. And speaking of new, Dynamite's got something new that they're presenting tonight. And who are the top five women's wrestlers in the eyes of John Cena? All of that and more today on WWT Live.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Red Velvet, from straight out of your mama's kitchen, doing what I do best, stirring it up, and you are now watching Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk. The number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. I am Gerard Bonner, a.k.a. The Professor, and it's great to be with you guys today. It's Wednesday. It's Dynamite Day. It's post-NXT Day. And there's a ton of news, as there always is. Thankfully, I'm not here alone. I've got little sweet, little sassy. She does it all. She is wrestling with Honey. Honey, how are you?
I am phenomenal. Feeling good. Feeling good. Lots of news, lots of excitement, lots of talk. And we're just 31 days now into our biggest night. So it's just, and we're on the aftermath of Revolution. It's just a lot. Like, what more, you know, TNA and Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro and, you know, possibly AEW Dynamite got something new they're splashing on us. It's really, 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 really interesting right now.
It is a very, very interesting time. And with there being so much news to talk about, we should just dive in. Now it's Women's Wrestling Talk, so it's only appropriate that we start with perhaps the biggest women's wrestling news of the day. We found out who the second inductee into the class of 2024 WWE Hall of Fame would be, and it is wrestling legend Bull Nakano. Now, this is significant for a lot of reasons. Bull Nakano was strong style in WWE way before they embraced strong style, way before they embraced the concept of women's wrestling. She was the one. She was part of All Japan Women's Pro Wrestling. And of course, many WWE fans may know her from her incredible match on Monday Night Raw back in 1994 against Alundra Blaze. It was incredible. She's done all kinds of things, including being a former WWE Women's Champion, former champion in Japan and in Mexico. Yeah, she's done all kinds of amazing things, including winning the Women's Championship. Most don't realize that this happened, that she won the WWE Women's Championship in the Tokyo Dome in front of 42,000 people. They don't talk about that very much, but that's a big part of her career. She has really become an icon for so many people to really pattern themselves after. And again, think about this. Before we got a Rhea Ripley, before we got a Jade Cargill, a Bianca Belair, or a Chyna, we had Bull Nakano. So congratulations to her being named as the second member of the class of 2024. What are your thoughts on this huge announcement about Bull Nakano?
I can't help but feel like this is definitely the year, Professor, where it's like the year of the overdue.
Ooh, you know, that's so good.
I really feel like this is the year of the overdue, and being that Paul Heyman was our first announcement, which we all know was very overdue, and Bull Nakano now being a part of that list, being in that kind of company, is saying a lot. Former AJW champion, All Pacific champion, WWA, like all kinds of things, Japan Grand Prix, the tag league, the best, and WWE, all of those references. And I remember honestly being really terrified of her when I watched her in my younger days in the 90s. Because when her and that little beef with Alundra Blaze, because I don't know why, but when I was younger and in that time, I was big on Alundra Blaze. And so when Bull Nakano came through and just completely squashed her, I was like, this lady is terrifying. Like, she is on another level. She was strong style before Shinsuke was even, guys like Shinsuke or Asuka or anybody even mentioned. She has tons and tons of accolades, Lucha Libre even under her belt as well. So it goes to say a lot about Bull Nakano and what she's done for the business. So like I said, it's the year of the overdue. So shout outs and huge congratulations to Bull Nakano. And she looks great even to this day. Like she could possibly still go. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I think that this is very, very overdue and I'm really loving it for sure.
Absolutely. Shout out to some folks hanging out in the chat. Shout out to Matt. Good to see you. Sendio, good to see you. She says, what's crazy is that she was only the second Japanese woman to win a title there. I don't know if you're referencing
the Tokyo Dome?
Championship. Now, yeah, there's a couple of questions. Are you referencing the Tokyo Dome or the WWE Women's Championship? Or a title in WWE. Just clarify that for us. If you don't count the NWA women's title, then she is the first. And again, clarify that because there's a tag team called the Jumping Bomb Angels that were your women's tag team champions in the WWE that predated Bull Nakano winning that title. So that's why I just want to clarify that to make sure we're good. Bobby, good to see you. It's great to see Bull Nakano in the Hall of Fame this year. I agree. People don't know that she was the one that taught Asuka. That's pretty cool. And to your point, WWE Women's Championships. Yeah. So technically the Jumping Bomb Angels were first, but still rare air that Bull Nakano is living in. And that is pretty awesome. And so it leads us to ask a very interesting question because a lot of people had been asking, who could end up in the Hall of Fame this year? And normally, Hall of Fame announcements are made a bit earlier, usually around Royal Rumble time and things of that nature. But here we are in March, and that's where we're getting our first announcements. Of course, we heard on Monday that Paul Heyman will be a part. Now we know Bull Nakano. Let's just throw some ideas out there, and this is obviously available to you guys in the chat as well. Who else do you think will make the Hall of Fame class of 2024?
I don't know, man. I honestly don't. That's been like a lot of the speculation going around in the IWC. They're like, you know, who are we gonna see next? I think it's quite interesting, especially the fact that they waited so much later than usual, as you said, because we're used to usually them announcing the first inductee like right after Royal Rumble
time, sure,
if I'm not mistaken, in past years. But the way they're announcing it, it's drawing us in slowly, and it's like a slow cook, kind of the way they've kind of been doing this whole WrestleMania buildup. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of time. We're definitely going to probably see more inductions in the upcoming weeks. As far as who I think should also be in it, I honestly think I know he's already won a Hall of Fame ring. But I would like to see, honestly, DDP win the Warrior Award, considering his contributions to a lot of retired and retired wrestlers and athletes and human beings that are just going through different lifestyle changes with his DDP yoga. That's something I would like to see. As far as inductions, I mean, I think I'll be happy with whoever they put up. I really can't say who I would like to see, because there's just so many people that do belong there, and I know they'll eventually get there. But going right from the start, from Paul Heyman to Bull Nakano, goes to show you exactly how good this Hall of Fame is going to be this year, for sure. But if I had to say anything, I would want DDP Yoga to get a Warrior Award. I think.
DDP is literally out here saving lives. Like, that's not even conjecture. And I mean, you can run through the list from, you know, the late great Scott Hall to Jake the Snake, and now all the news about the American males, that being, of course, Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs. And I will shamelessly plug the fact that I've had a chance to see both of them and work with both of them over the last year or so. Did some commentary, actually work with Marcus Alexander Bagwell, aka Buff Bagwell, recently called a match like in the last month with Scotty Riggs, who looks phenomenal. It's just amazing to see what he's out there doing. There's a video out there of what he recently has done with Butterbean.
Yes.
And that is, good Lord.
The transition in posture, just how he walks alone, because I didn't really think it was that bad for a lot of athletes. And then you see it, and it's like unbelievable. But what DDP has been able to do to create this system, it definitely speaks volumes to who he is as a human being and how much he's invested into helping people and saving people's lives. You know, like he whether it's your average Joe next door to somebody like Scott Hall and Butterbean and, you know, athletes that we have been that have been world renowned to us for years, you know. So I definitely see something. I would love to see something for DDP really soon, being that he's so, especially he's gotten a lot of momentum. I feel like this year, a lot of people are really gravitating towards him. I even heard that Mick Foley has been wanting to change up his lifestyle and his weight and everything like that. And so I, knowing the injuries that man has had, I'm sure DDP can put that healing touch on it with a bang.
The list of people, if people really knew how many people DDP has touched, who are both in and out of the spotlight, it would really blow people's minds. Let's go to some of these comments here. Jesse, good to see you. He says, for Bull Nakano, don't bet the legends of All Japan and the stars of Stardom and Tsukiban might show up and let Asuka, Kairi Sane, Io, Medusa induct her. That should be interesting to see who will ultimately get to induct her. Eddie, good to see you here. All right, so who they think should go in? Cindy thinks Gail Kim. That'd be an interesting choice.
That's a good one.
That's a good choice. And it would like, now this is what's interesting. Now, granted, we're in a different era in terms of WWE and who they might choose for their Hall of Fame, because WWE is good for recognizing contributions that have been made to pro wrestling, not just the WWE. So with that, Gail Kim could be a possibility given what she's done for the TNA space. Here's a good one from Bobby Fit Finley, who I think is well deserving
Absolutely.
Of that. And by the way, for those who may not have caught it, last night his son finally made his NXT debut. We might touch on that once we get to NXT for a little bit. This one seems like an obvious one. Good choice, Matt. Bray Wyatt, which I think, if the Eddie Guerrero template is indeed that, then I imagine we would see Bray Wyatt go in this year, which, what a strong class that would be. Bray, Bull, and
I think also it would be quite endearing for Bray Wyatt to be inducted because it would be in Philadelphia.
Sure.
And also that was where he returned at Extreme Bull.
That's right.
I think that would also be very a nice little parallel to Bray Wyatt. But of course, I don't know how I could forget that, but definitely Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's a great one. Eddie, thank you for creating a safe place for enjoying wrestling, especially being Black creators and I being a Black wrestling fan. You are very welcome, Eddie. You are definitely welcome here, as is everyone. And we're glad that you guys find this place to be safe. That is a very, very good thing. Well, what was not safe last night was NXT Roadblock, and it wasn't specifically safe for the NXT Women's Champion, Lyra Valkyria, who ran into a certain buzzsaw called this lady right here, Roxanne Perez, who, I think we had been seeing, obviously, you know, some seeds being planted that Roxanne wasn't happy about things, but Roxanne inserted herself at the end of the tag team title match last night between the Kabuki Warriors and Lyra Valkyria and Tatum Paxley. Roxanne took that time after the match to attack and attack hard the women's champion, Lyra Valkyria, leaving her pretty much in a heap, potentially with a broken arm. She was carried out, put in the ambulance. I've not heard kind of the update on her, but I know kind of coming into Roadblock, we were having questions in terms of who could be next as we're gearing up for Stand and Deliver. And it seems like it's very clear what the NXT women's title picture could look like at Stand and Deliver. What were your thoughts on this new presentation of Roxanne Perez last night?
I think I definitely was expecting something like this, because for the last few weeks we've seen Roxanne being somewhat of a ticking time bomb. She's been losing her patience and her temper's gotten very short, and her sassiness has definitely increased. I don't know about the sassiness being more than my sassiness, but I'm just saying. But she's gotten pretty nasty, and I definitely think that this was personal. Obviously, she made this personal, and I think this was done with the intention of wanting Lyra Valkyria to feel what Roxanne felt when she lost her opportunity while she had the title and her almost had her career ended. So I think this was more so out of spite and out of that feeling of wanting Lyra Valkyria to feel what Roxanne felt. So, and I think that that's valid or the right way to go about it? Maybe not, you know, but Roxanne has been more than a woman to stepping up to Lyra Valkyria and asking for a challenge. And this is what happens, you know, they lose their patience and they go off the handle, and now you get the worst of the worst of her. And I don't think she's going to stop there. So,
yeah, you know, if we remember, it was a Vengeance Day where Roxanne had a one-on-one match with Lyra that turned into a triple threat when Sed's favorite wrestler, Lola Vice, executed her breakout contract, turning this into a triple threat match, ultimately costing Roxanne the title as Lola would end up getting pinned. Why Roxanne is taking out on all people Lyra, I don't know. Now, granted, she's already had her match and moment with Lola, and this is the new way that she is kind of rolling. And this look says an awful lot about Roxanne Perez and her potential future, which I think should be most interesting. Let's see what's happening in the chat. Cindyl says Roxanne was wearing a damage control shirt on an accidentally posted IG story beforehand too. That's interesting.
Bobby
says, I liked that Roxanne Perez is being a heel on NXT. I'd be interested if she'll be a heel on the main roster in the future. Well, I guess time will tell. I can tell you who's not a heel. And I think we have to officially roll out the official applause.
What up?
Yay. The boss lady is back. I should have had Eric Bischoff's music for you. You're back and better than ever. Boss lady?
I'm good. Shout out to the six. They treated me well. Things are in motion. You know, shout out to y'all for holding it down. And yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm rested. Thank you, Lord. And yeah.
Wow.
Happy to have you back.
A rested TK.
Arrested. Wow. Actually, well, I'm lying. I didn't really get to sleep. It's weird because I'm halfway in between West Coast and East Coast. Like, I would stay up on West Coast time, but then I would still get up early. And even now here, it's like I got back to LA and now I still get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it's, I don't know, my body will figure it out. But yeah, shout out to the six. People have been great.
We're happy to have you back, boss.
Yeah. Oh, see now I know the picture. That's the hubby right there. So, that's my hubby. No, y'all don't. That's her hubby. That's her hubby.
I love it. I love it. Well, welcome back. We're in the midst of talking right now about Roxanne Perez and her interesting moment last night on NXT Roadblock, where she I guess fully embraced all things evil and bad and nearly broke the arm of Lyra Valkyria last night. It was a pretty crazy night, to say the least.
Did we see it coming, though? Like, I feel like it's been, it was actually a very pleasant progression. Like, you know how sometimes some people, it's like all of a sudden they're just pissed and then they start, like, you kind of see how it's been happening, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Slow cooking.
Yeah.
I agree. Slow cooking for sure. Well, another thing that happened last night in terms of return, we saw the return of Sol Ruka, who came back surprisingly during this match involving Blair Davenport and Fallon Henley. Of course, Blair Davenport injured Sol Ruka, took her out for nearly a year. You can see Sol Ruka has the knee brace on and she is back again. Just deepening, dare I say, the women's division over at NXT. I mean, good Lord, think about it. Last night, we did not have Said's second favorite wrestler, Jada Parker, on the show. None of his wrestlers were on. Maybe that's why he's not on the show today. I don't know. Because Jada wasn't on, Lola wasn't on, but the women's division is still super deep. And now you add Sol Ruka back to the mix. And of course, a lot of people are talking about this return, the return of Trick Williams. Let's dig into that. TK, I see you bobbing your head. I know he's one of your favorites. Your thoughts on the return of Trick Williams
to NXT?
Well, he is. Is he not?
What professor is referencing to, for those folks who are new to us or don't listen to every show, there was a moment a couple weeks ago, Trick had put a video on the beach just walking. And I appreciate hard work. So that's what I was appreciating. So yes, and the whole thing and just his whole, and that's what I really like about NXT and WWE, where it's all going. They have the slow burn in the characters now. Mm-hmm. Like it's not as forced. It seems like they're genuinely talking to each wrestler and either and or listening to their ideas or and or seeing entire vision for them, which is a great thing. And so that's why. So I do appreciate Trick, but I also appreciate all the wrestlers. So I see the shade, Teflon G.
No shade. How was that? Honey, was that shade? Was that shade?
I don't want to be put in the middle, but I just want to say that. I appreciate hard work as well. No shade to my husband.
I think we all appreciate last night.
I couldn't help but notice that, you know, little more hit in the gym while he was gone a little bit, you know. So it was like, hey, I see you, you know, appreciate it. And that's where I'm gonna keep it. I'm not gonna pick sides.
See, look.
Oh my, Cindy, really? Wow. Yes. Wow.
So she's saying,
I don't know if it was particularly shade. I think it was more pointing out the obvious.
See, you don't know Teflon G like how I know Teflon G.
I don't throw shade. If I do, it's very, very rare.
With a prayer.
It wasn't full shade though. I don't think it was full shade.
Yeah, and a go with God at the end of it, like go with God.
Wow.
The sun's not even out, so I don't think it was.
Well, let's go to some of these comments. Jesse says that Tony Khan better be careful with the Monet hype. It may have backfired after that big Boston show. I'm not sure what you're referencing. The Boston show isn't until next week, so I'm not sure what big Boston show you're referencing yet. So.
And also, on Mercedes Moné, shout out to the homie. I'm so proud of him.
Oh,
shout
yes.
Evan T. Mack, y'all go and subscribe to his channel. The interview is dropping tomorrow. And baby, let me tell you.
I can't wait.
It's going to be good.
I can't wait. That was a big coup. So shout out to the homie. He's definitely a part of our family here. Cindy was referring to that tag team title match last night, which I thought did go very, very well. The women's match. Jeffrey says, love the new attitude of Roxanne. It was expected. He also said, love to see Sol Ruka back. Yeah, she's real special. And I like to see what she's going to do. Jakara, she was not on the show last night. That is also very interesting. Great to see Trick Williams back in an NXT ring. Welcome back, Trick, Sol, and Mr. Regal. Oh, yes, okay. It was great to see him last night as well.
Doing a spot with his son, no less, too.
That was really awesome. Really, really awesome. Yes. Good evening, kind sir. Always great to see you, cousin. And Jesse Hyde, AEW Big Boss, Big Business is in Boston. We're aware. And that's next week. So I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't understand the comment. Maybe that's what it is. Let me reread the comment. He better be careful with that Monet hype. It may backfire after the Big Boston show.
It may backfire. Yeah, it looked like they said it backfired after that.
It did say backfired, but maybe meant it differently. Okay, well, time will tell for sure. Time will definitely tell. Either way, Certainly Roadblock last night was a big, big time. And one of the other things that happened following Roadblock, and obviously some other things happened, this is another big piece of news. And again, lots of women's wrestling news happening today. John Cena is out there on the interview circuit. And in being on the interview circuit today, he was on First Take. And on First Take, he decided to share in no particular order his top five favorite female wrestlers. And in case you didn't know, here's how it goes down. No particular order. He likes Becky Lynch. Mm-hmm. He likes Bayley. He likes Bianca Belair. He likes Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. Now, not really sure if he's referencing, you know, his Mount Rushmore of greatest ever, but I don't know. It was asked like that. Just kind of the top five women in the business for him right now. What are your thoughts, guys, on this particular list, which certainly all of them have strong championship pedigrees? Your thoughts on this list from John Cena?
I mean, yeah, I mean, you referenced it. I mean, he pretty much picks people who, he pretty much picked the people who are champions or have been champions, who are dominating the space, who like can hold their own. I feel like anybody would pick that list. I mean, as far as Mount Rushmore, it's totally different. I don't think that was his Mount Rushmore. I feel like if they were doing Mount Rushmore, it would be a few different names. He would exchange a few different names, but it's a solid list. It's a diverse list, which I can appreciate, because, you know, people tend to lean towards, you know, what looks like them, especially if they're of the, you know, non-melanated situation. So it's a solid list.
Yeah, I have to agree. This is definitely a valid list by John Cena. There's no complaints from me as far as this list goes, because every single one is deserving of being on a list of being a GOAT. And future GOAT, I think he more so based his list on the fact that these are his current favorites that he sees that's going to be an everlasting and long-lasting staple in the WWE for the next 5+ years, you know, and for the future of women's wrestling and WWE as well. So I have no complaints about this list at all. Bayley, Bianca, all valid. Becky, two belts. They all have lots of good history and they all and accolades and timeless moments. And there's going to continue to be more, which I think is also the reason why he picked these particular ones, because these women are still in their primes, still.
Speaking of advocate for women's wrestling.
I like what you did there. I like that.
I mean, look.
Yeah.
Honey is a great addition to the team. She just gave me a nice little alley-oop and, you know, here we are.
There it is.
Hit it with the assist. What's up, Mayor?
How you doing?
What streets are you coming from today?
Parkerville.
Oh, quite literally the South Bay. 2-hour driving time in the rain. So I apologize for my tardiness.
I understand.
Were you working or were you working with your sugar mama?
Oh, Lord.
And we talk about Shade. Hello, people. Holler. Holler.
Is it Shade? If it's true, though?
I'd say these are claims that I do not accept. Accept these claims.
Is it Shade if it's true? Well, let's go back. Isn't this true?
What I said is I appreciate hard work.
What did I miss? What am I walking into right now?
So said when I introduced Trick Williams and his return to NXT, I simply said that he is one of TK's favorite superstars. That's what I said. She accused me of throwing shade.
I don't think that's shade at all.
Wow. Thank you, sir. Wow. Thank you.
That's we had a whole moment where you were playing the video with on the beach and all that. Like, that's a layup.
We call him Teflon G for a reason. And I'm gonna leave it there. Not everybody, people who have a high IQ will pick up certain things that Teflon G says, but if your IQ is not the greatest, then he be saying stuff that goes over your head. So I'm just saying.
I need an umbrella.
So I guess I missed NXT talks. Let me answer this real quick. Sindel wants to know my thoughts on the selection of women last night.
We literally just finished the NXT conversation, but let's go ahead and dig into that since she's asked.
You know what? I like secondary storylines. I like storylines that don't necessarily have to take place in the ring. One thing that stood out to me was what's going to happen with Fallon Henley and Blair Davenport, which I believe this is the first time we've seen Blair since the title match. So yeah. Great to see that. I know there's a building rocket strip being strapped to Fallon Henley right now, and I like that they're going to slow build it, not just do it right off the back. So Blair's a great counterpart for that. I guess you guys talked about Roxanne kind of going apeshit, which I still don't really believe in this type of gimmick for her. But, I mean, we'll see. I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. I think this says a lot more about Lyra's title reign being very boring than it does about Roxanne, you know, having a character shift. I think they needed to have a character shift for Roxanne just to make her title reign interesting. And that's and it's, that says a lot. But, I mean... Again, we got to build more challengers at some point. So I hope at some point we get, I think Soul returned last night. We got to get Soul in the title picture. Kalani Jordan in the title picture. Lash Legend in the title picture. We got to build up more viable challengers. NXT does a really good job of that. And with a women's general manager in Ava, I think you're going to see even more of that start to take place. Also, shout out to Regal getting screen time with his son last night. That was real dope.
That was special. That was special. I do have a question for you, Mr. Mayor. Where's Lola? Where's Lola been? What we do with Lola?
He said, Mr. Mayor.
I love it. I love it.
You look clear into the camera. Clear into the camera. Mr. Higginbottom, we're going to have problems. If I'm in Florida, we're going to have problems. You got my girl on Level Up? Like, this is developmental? Like, she ain't really throw hands in the octagon. What are we doing, Higginbottom? And now she's doing all these ass tactic things. We don't need that. Let her fight. Ooh. Just let her fight.
Ooh, I think
coming down the character.
I'm sorry for poking the nerve there, but I had to ask because I haven't seen her. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen her in a minute. She went MIA.
I haven't seen her.
Is the breakout contract a curse now? Because that's what it's feeling like.
Tell me, have you seen her?
We can give Roxanne chance after chance after chance, but you know, I'm just a viewer.
No? You know what to do, Dylan. Another thing that we can view as well, shout out to Black Wrestling Alliance. Arena rankings have debuted. Another, you know, since Sed was on his, not being happy list about things, he can just kind of continue with this.
Pile it on, huh?
I know.
Making up for lost time.
I'm telling you, Bianca Belair, Jada Parker, King Bees, Queen Aminata, Athena, fifth spot, Jordynne Grace, happy birthday to her, by the way. Fourth, Becky Lynch. Three, Nia Jax. Two, Tiffany Stratton. And number one, Rhea Ripley. So shout out to BWA. And we have these every month. I think what we might do is we might start including y'all in it, the folks who watch and listen to us and stuff like that. So we'll just check out the website, be on the lookout for that. We'll announce it and you know you can check that out. But definitely something to check out on our Instagram page.
That might be the only way I get some justice. Y'all see this desk behind me? I will flip this damn desk. Jada Parker has wrestled less than 5 matches and she made this list off first rip.
Jada Parker also went viral.
Lola most don't viral, got viral
I
moments.
Would say that's like the fastest, most viral outfit worn in wrestling besides when Bianca almost showed out with the cheeks popping out.
Jada went urban viral. Let's be clear. She went urban viral, but I mean Lola had more viral.
2 million Lola, 2 million
viral for a long time. Long time viral.
viral nonetheless.
And I got my hotel in Parkerville, but we just apples and oranges. Wait, here.
You have a hotel in Parkerville?
We talked about the Monopoly reference, you know, we got in and out stage, but I'm just saying that I see a conspiracy building here and we are pitting two bad, you know what, against each other.
Wow. Well,
and I'm trying to figure out why.
All right.
I don't know if this two city thing is working out for you, said. You might have to make a choice, brother.
I also want to point out one important thing. I'm very happy that we have Slide today. See, when the boss comes back, that things tend to work. Because on Monday, I was kind of set up for failure. You know, just had to be on screen the whole time. We couldn't shift to commercial break and none of that. It was just like, it was booby trapped. Let's say it was booby trapped for me.
Here's the problem. One, you know what? I'm gonna leave that. We'll leave that for off air. But you're fine. You're the mayor.
The mayor don't got the key. Apparently, I'm waiting on the key.
I mean, you should hit up Teflon G.
Oh man,
I'm just.
Well, I'll tell you this much. TK has support from Trini Boy 27.
I haven't seen you in a minute. He's another one of my after buzzers from back in the day. What's up, Trini Boy?
Well, there it is. So there's support. And Eddie must be in the back workings of this. Happy Dynamite Day, because the next thing we want to talk about is a new logo and some new things coming to AEW Dynamite starting tonight. So, of course, if you guys witnessed AEW Revolution, you might have gotten your first taste of this new logo when it kind of hit the lower left-hand corner and they were talking about a match that was coming up, and it looked really different. Well, this isn't the only thing that's going to be different tonight. We're also told that there's a brand new stage design that should look a little something like this when you see AEW Dynamite airing live tonight from here in the Atlanta area. So it's going to be interesting. They're treating it like a season premiere. So we should get a whole new look. I'm not sure if this will include new theme songs, but some new things are happening with AEW Dynamite. What are your thoughts on the return of the tunnels, the new stage design, the new setting? What do you guys think of this?
It's funny. Eddie says it reminds me of Power Rangers, but when I saw it, it actually reminded me of NXT 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's,
you mean the colors?
The color. I mean, obviously, it's not the same. So I'm not like saying, oh, well, they. It's not even that. It's just when I saw it, that's the first thing.
Initially, just the pop color of it all. Yeah.
It's just the very bright colors. Like, I think NXT 2.0, I think, used all those colors. So that's what it reminded me of. Like, I get what they're trying to do, or whoever the graphic designer is trying to do. But, and there's no but. Is this just what it reminded me of? But when we see the product tonight, that's what they're going to have the separation of. That's what the separation should be. So then you totally forget about NXT 2.0.
Sure.
Whatever they bring tonight.
Mm-hmm. I always like the whole tunnel thing too. It's very reminiscent of old school days of wrestling for me. So I don't mind the tunnel thing. And I like the color, the choice of colors too. I'm going to be watching tonight, because that Revolution pay-per-view was pretty lit. And I'm excited to see what is going to happen with this new evolution of AEW Dynamite, if you will, we could say. Because also we got the Young Bucks are going to be making a special announcement for something. And it's pretty cool. I think this is a pretty cool move for them. And it shows that they had spent some time on this. And this is something that they've been planning. And I think it's kind of like their version of like a spring solstice, you know, bringing something fresh and new to the spring season. So shout out to AEW and the graphic design.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into like the, you know, I think it's more of an LA thing, but, you know, the universe and the namaste and all this stuff, technically March is the start of the new year.
Yes. So. Yeah. New year was not January for me. And I'm a spring baby. I'm like, no. Winter, when winter's gone, then it's the new year.
I feel you on that,
sister.
Set any thoughts on this?
I like the fresh look, and I think it's good to have like change in the wrestling world to kind of have that season premiere aspect. I do dig the tunnels. I thought that's what made them unique in the first place, when you have your quote unquote baby face and heel tunnels. And then you might have somebody all of a sudden come out of the tunnel that they're not accustomed to, which adds those little layers and wrinkles to the programming that made AEW so fun in the first like couple years. So really interested to see what they do tonight.
Yeah, it definitely should be interesting. And, you know, you could make the argument that obviously with Sting leaving, a chapter is closing and they're ready to start a brand new chapter. It's not the first redesign that we've seen for them, which I'm also cool with as well. I mean, if you think about it, Dynamite has been out almost 5 years. It's had a couple of, you know, design changes in terms of set design, in terms of new logos and things like that. That is not a bad thing at all. And so I applaud them for being willing to try it, and to try it at a time that's not a traditional time for that. Most people expect season premieres, you know, in the fall. However, this actually is consistent with the new season premiere that is happening right now because of the whole strike that took place with the writers and the actors. So a lot of shows are actually doing their season premiere this week. So it is consistent with that, which I think, again, is not a bad thing at all. Also interesting, they will be taping Collision tomorrow night here in Atlanta instead of live Saturday. So interesting to see what happens. And I'm intrigued because, of course, we've got a tag team tournament that still needs to be announced and figured out. What else will happen at Big Business? We don't really know much of anything. I think there's been one match announced for Big Business. But what will happen with the world title, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of places for Dynamite to go tonight. And I think it should be pretty awesome. A couple of comments here. Eddie says, I really like it. It reminds me of Power Rangers. You already showed that, though. My apologies. Cindy said that there are about as many colors as Darby Allin's back must look right now.
Oh,
that's a pretty creative comment. I must give you that. Very creative comment.
Yeah. If I could just piggyback off of something you said, Professor, with the whole reference to the AEW Dynamite new logo and in season and everything, I really think that's kind of telling, and it's kind of like a... it's like a visual reset, because when Sting did come in, it was like the winter was coming, and the winter was there, cold is there. And it's like, this kind of reminds me of like a SummerSlam-esque type of logo, you know, or going into like brighter spring colors. So it's I think it's kind of fitting that you said that, because it's like Sting was the end of winter, and that closed that solstice and that chapter, and then going into something fresh and new. Especially with all the stuff that we saw in Revolution. It was like a lot of closing chapters, but there was also elements of fresh and new coming through. So just wanted to touch on that.
A lot of Power Rangers comments. Am I that far removed from my childhood that I can't see it?
I mean, too much time in Parkerville.
Where's the umbrella? I can't find that damn... my.
Wow.
Isn't there rumors that Okada is supposed to appear tonight too?
I did see that.
I hadn't heard that. If that's the case, I'm gonna be really upset that I'm not there. But I'll tell you what is interesting. So this story came out and I found it to be interesting. Most of us knew or heard the news, of course, earlier this year about this partnership between WWE and Netflix, that Monday Night Raw would be heading to Netflix in 2025. But you might be surprised to find out that that was apparently not the original plan. The original plan was NXT going to Netflix. This came out in a conversation that happened involving TKO president Mark Shapiro, and he was talking at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference. And in there, you know, he was talking about the different people that they met with. They were talking to Netflix and Apple and other streaming platforms, and they were initially talking about potentially PLEs and things of that nature. But the conversation apparently started with NXT. And that's the crazy part. He said, when we first started talking to Netflix, it was frankly about NXT. it wasn't even about Raw. Then it turned into a bigger conversation. And then the Raw conversation became a global conversation. So I think that's super interesting to think that NXT could have been on Netflix. Instead, NXT ends up, of course, on the CW. We know that SmackDown returns to USA and Monday Night Raw heads to Netflix. I'm curious, how different do you think things would have been for NXT if the announcement came out that they were heading to Netflix?
Well, one, NXT is raising the rates again, which is no bueno.
You mean Netflix?
Netflix. I feel like it would have been a good place for them. But why not? I wonder why they can't do both. Like, would it be considered a monopoly, or whose decision is it? Is it WWE's decision to try to keep it all on different platforms because that's what they've been doing? Or does it make more sense as coverage? Or a company hasn't come up with the money and the business acumen to have two shows on one platform? I'm kind of, you know, wondering which is better.
Yeah, I think it was more so about the it could possibly be about the coverage, as far as, you know, wanting them to be on all kind of platforms and reach globally, because, you know, everybody's going to order it, and especially us wrestling fans and those who truly watch consistently. It's a game changer either way, though I am curious, alongside you, Boss Lady, because I would really like to have seen NXT on a Netflix platform. I think it would have been very interesting for a lot of the new talent, and I think it would have given them a bigger chance to be able to do more film-like segments and vignettes and things like that to experiment with. But I guess it only makes sense for WWE Raw to get that deal because, one, it's $5 billion over 10 years, and Raw has been the longest running show on USA consistently straight through. So Netflix probably saw the consistency in that and wanted just to keep it with Monday Night Raw as opposed to NXT, which kind of flip-flopped from Wednesday to Tuesdays every so often. But I guess it's more so about consistency coverage as opposed to just picking a company to do the deal.
As an NXT diehard, I think this would have been really dope to kind of throw it back to the days of when NXT only appeared on the network. Mm-hmm. But if you want my honest opinion, I think the execs, TKO, Endeavor, got a hold of who Shawn Michaels been scouting. I mean, looking at them college tapes, got a hold of that search history and said, nah. We see the target audience. You headed for the CW, and we know why. That's so
funny.
Either way, you know what I'm talking about too. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh,
so I
allegedly.
The target audience is clear now. We got World Star hitting us up, a bunch of that. We know what the CW is. You know what type of shows you watch in the CW growing up. Target audience is clear. So either way, NXT is going to be in good hands, but for a deal like Netflix and for a brand that's probably dying like Netflix is with so many rate increases, price hikes, and things like that, bringing a TV show that has staying power, that's been around for decades, longest reigning on USA and television programming as a whole, no sign of it going away. You want staying power, you bring something around that people seemingly can't live without, and that's Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and now that you say that, you're absolutely right. And it's live. And now I can say this freely. I've hinted at it over the years. So I have been on my friend's Netflix account, I don't know, for the better part of maybe a decade. And so when they when they finally, you know, did the whole thing, I figured out that, you know, you can't get it on the TV, but you can get it on the tablet and the phone. So I was rocking that for like a year and a half. And then one day I opened my phone and I was like, all my algorithms is gone. However, when I spoke to my friend, he had ironically had canceled it like a week before without telling me. Jorge, we have a problem. But anyways, without telling me. But the fact that he had it for a decade and he canceled it because they raised the rates, it's one of those things where it's like it's not a necessity. And so for somebody who's a wrestling fan, and it's not one of those things where it's like a documentary or anything like that, it's something that comes on consistently weekly. Mm-hmm. It's like, because it's even like Hulu. I changed my plan on Hulu, and then I realized I was getting everything but AEW. So now I have to change my plan back again in order to get AEW because I want to watch it. Mm-hmm. So that's, it's a really good, because for people who are following Netflix, what the stuff that they're offering, they're changing everything up, because here in LA, specifically entertainment in Hollywood, there's a lot of stuff going behind the scenes that, like, it's scary. What you laughing at? You and Park, like, you got a video?
I'm laughing at Cousin Ron's comment.
So you're saying NXT is Dawson's Creek?
I was about to go more with Moesha, the Parkers, you know, one of them.
By the way, fun fact with that, did you know that Moesha, the Parkers, and girlfriends, I saw this on Instagram, they all belong to the same universe? They all have appeared on the show. So, like, Joan was on Moesha.
That's what you mean. Okay. The actress.
Like, they're all part of the same. Like, they're all related in one way or the other.
I was today years old. Wow.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Shout out to Instagram. And they actually showed the side-by-sides. Like, Diana Ross's daughter. I forgot her name. Tracy Ellis. She was on Moesha. And obviously, we know Moesha and Monique, how that connection mm-hmm. is, but like mm-hmm. they're all connected.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I like it.
Take that to Parkerville, said he said.
Well, I'll tell you who's probably not coming to Parkerville anytime soon, and that's this gentleman.
That picture is diabolical.
That was a good one, Teflon G. That was a good one.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That picture got Vince McMahon all over it.
Has been in the news quite a bit the last few days. For one, he sold about $412 million in stock this week at TKO. Now, I know there have been a lot of questions in terms of what this means for how many shares he has, because Vince McMahon also sold off a number of shares back in November, somewhere around $600 million worth of shares. So just that we're clear in terms of how many shares he has left, he initially had 28 million shares in TKO. This stock sale has taken him down to 15 million shares in TKO. So he's sold about almost half, not quite half. But the bigger story in all of this is what TKO president Mark Shapiro had to say, where he said unequivocally that Vince McMahon is not coming back to the company. He said that TKO did not participate in this recent sale of Vince McMahon's shares that he sold of stock. They've got nothing to do with it. He also said that we don't talk to him. He says we don't know his motives, his plan, or his timeline. He doesn't work for the company. He doesn't come into the office. He's not coming back to the company. And that's where we sit. End quote. I know a lot of people have been concerned about the future of Vince McMahon and TKO. And many have thought, matter of fact, I think it was this time last year when Vince had made his comeback and et cetera, and there was always talk of Vince is never really gone, et cetera, et cetera. Here we are in a brand new land, and the big people at TKO are saying he's done, he's out of here, he's gone. The look on TK's face is causing me to ask this question. Do you believe that Vince McMahon is really gone from TKO?
Right now, but I mean, technically they said the same thing about Steve Jobs and he came back. I mean, obviously Steve Jobs, why he went out is totally different than what Vince has done. But the reason why it's just kind of like the president of TKO has to do that because they have to distance themselves from Vince. Like, it's one of those things that it just makes sense. But if 5 years down the line or 2 years down the line, like the thing where we are as far as social media, entertainment, news, it changes so quickly. This is not like in like the 70s, 80s, maybe even the 90s, where, you know, like the OJ trial, where like you're sitting on that for weeks at a time. It's like there's just so many things that are coming at us that there's a possibility that he might come back. I do definitely do think that he's going to be admitted into the Hall of Fame at one point. It might be, you know, post, after the fact, after, you know, the, you know, he's no longer with us. But that's going to be, you know what I'm saying? For now, it makes sense. But business, and especially wrestling, and just life, there's no finality of that. Like, you can say that now, but if now the masses have forgiven Vince and everything is paid off and all the things, there's a strange turn of events. Like, okay. If Vince were to come back, do you think that people would stop watching wrestling?
No. I mean, it's so touchy because of everything that he's going through. And I guess it also depends on if he's convicted or not, or if these allegations are actually true, because, you know, there's still trials, there's still court cases going on and lawsuits that have been filed, and they're obviously costing him. I don't think per se anybody would stop watching, because hell, we kept watching after Hogan came back. And look what he said about our people and us, and, you know, like minorities and everything. And it's just like, it's upsetting. Of course, it's terrible. It's not the same thing, but it's all terrible as far as that kind of relativity, because it's just, it's immoral. And it's still touchy, because what Mark Shapiro did was playing a game of chess, because that's what you do in business. Mm-hmm. You got your move, and you got to distance yourself from the problem and from that kind of talk in order to keep your business flowing. And they've been doing a very good job of that. But as far as do I think Vince McMahon will ever go away? Absolutely not. This was his life. This was his creation, his father's creation that he built off of this, and he saw much bigger things for it. But am I going to negate everything that he's been accused of? Not necessarily, because I want to make sure that you're either guilty or not guilty. Because
facts matter.
As a woman, it's really hard to say, because it's like nobody deserves that kind of treatment, if that is true. Because we still don't know if these things are true, and I think that's also the big factor. But Mark Shapiro did the right thing. And it what's happening to Vince is kind of reminding me of like a Succession episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it really is. It's like, and he's giving up his shares, which obviously would show that these lawsuits are costing him, and it's gonna take a lot of more time to I would say it's gonna take a lot more time to forgive Vince than Hogan, especially if he's found guilty of it. He might not come back. But if he does come back, I can't say that I won't watch.
So Sindel's saying they're nearly losing sponsorship when he was still there, when it all broke out. So yeah, I definitely agree. Like, him coming back right now, definitely not. But we're talking 2-3 years from now. The reason I say that, when the stuff happened with Hogan, if the stuff happened to with Hogan now in today's age, where everybody has a voice and everybody has an opinion and everybody has a social media account and everybody has a blog and all this other stuff, it would be different. Mm-hmm. Right? But the fact that he's back now is because it's ever changing. And the thing with Vince is that we just can't get hit with so much news. And in the wrestling sphere, where everything is going, it's just kind of like, I honestly feel, and again, I mean, if he goes to jail and he's convicted, it's a little bit different, but it's just one of those things. Like, do I think he's going to ever take over and run stuff? Absolutely not.
No.
But do I feel like, I feel like he would be associated with WWE in some way, shape, or form in the future? There's definitely a possibility, provided he doesn't do anything stupid. meaning right. like he lets his ego go get so far ahead of him that he just burns everything. And that's where it's just like, okay, you're not coming back because clearly you don't give an F about nothing. So we and can't.
Not to mention the man is old AF. He's getting up there. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about events will come back. Who's to say he will, like, I'm just saying, like, real life happens. Real ish happens. And with this kind of stress where you're losing shares and millions of dollars by the day or by the week, that's just stressful. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, Brock Lesnar too, another one. You know, do you think people will forgive Brock Lesnar as long as he's not convicted and not guilty or considered not guilty or anything like that? That would we be willing to forgive him? Because the minute that news broke, I saw lots of people on my feed on Instagram saying, you were my hero, you were this, and completely bashing the man when they didn't even have any reason, they didn't have any facts out yet. So we live in a very opinionated world where it's really tough to be able to speculate. But I can't say that I'd stop watching, though. I can't say that I would.
And, in regards to the old thing, I look at this picture right here, and that doesn't seem like a person that is going to kick the bucket anytime soon. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Money can buy a lot of things. I believe there's things out there that we just don't have access to. So whatever he's doing, he paying for something to stay around a little bit longer. And TK brought up an interesting thing about burning things to the ground, and that's spite. And spite is a lot more powerful than many other emotions. So selling the shares can be a number of things. You could be moving the chess pieces to try to buy another company and create something else from the bottom up. We don't know. I don't believe that Vince is completely done with wrestling as much as wrestling is done with him.
Right.
So yeah. I feel like something along the lines is at play. I think the negative press is what caused this force out, but there was another force out attempt that he seemingly weaseled his way around and we got the sale and he was still a part of it. So we never know how this is going to move, but I feel like as far as forgiving Vince, they've the game dropped yesterday. He's blurred out in the video game.
He is. This is
a distancing effect that we haven't seen ever, really, in the world of professional wrestling for somebody who had their hands on so much stuff involved in the sport of professional wrestling. So I think it'll take a long time. Will he be inducted into the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Will he probably get a moment of speech or anything like that? Not until any of this blows over. But I think there's more at play here. I don't know if he can. I don't know if there's any loopholes to get himself back into WWE, but it's really hard to remove the name from WWE. And is it very possible that he can buy another company, 400 million shares, whatever that equals? I mean, I'm doing the math right now. 400 million. You carry the one. I mean, I've been at this thing for a year. TK, how many WWT shares I got? I just need to know. Can I cash out today? Do I gotta wait till they vest in April when I'm a year in?
I thought you sold them to be in Parkerville. Like, I have to check the paper.
Oh,
now.
Wow.
That was all self investment. Now I need to know, is it time accrued? Is it what is it? I mean, you got all the strings.
Yeah, you'll have to check with Kazuza on that. But yeah, we'll check.
Okay.
And going back to this picture, not for nothing, spray paint and then dye isn't that expensive, and that's good. And that's good. That's probably good photoshopping there. So probably
and lighting. You don't need spray paint and the dye anymore. You can literally do all that on the computer. Take out a couple of lines.
I will counter that and say, if you haven't seen Vince McMahon's workout videos at this age, go look at that, because he's not moving like no 70 something. So
he is moving. Oh, that's random.
Oh no, boss lady froze.
Oh, she froze. I thought it was me for a second.
No.
I'll say this much, and I remember saying this once this sale went through, that we were going to see some things that were really different because it's going to be hard for most of us to conceptualize it, because for most of us, when we've talked about wrestling and we've talked about WWE, Vince McMahon was always the end all be all.
Yes.
Vince never had a boss. Oh, and the power went out for TK. So hopefully she's safe. What we've never seen before is Vince McMahon with a boss. And that's what has made TKO different, is Vince McMahon was going to have a boss. And for everybody who, you know, swore up and down, oh, no, 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 no. Vince has a boss. And I can't fully say what I think, but what I will say is this. I feel like the powers that be in TKO, or excuse me, in Endeavor, were fully aware of everything that would come along with this and saw that the most valuable entity in all of this is WWE. And so because of that, I think we're playing with some different things here. This is not a space where Vince, think about this. The only other time where we've seen somebody literally erased from pro wrestling is Chris Benoit. That's the only other time. Everybody else has had a loophole of some sort, et cetera, et cetera. For a company like TKO to go into a video game that has over 200 characters and blur his face out, likely because they couldn't take him out,
right?
Because this had already gone to print, et cetera, et cetera. It speaks volumes. And I do think that the wrestling world has never seen the WWE without Vince McMahon. So there's no frame of reference for Vince McMahon not being able to get back in, for Vince McMahon not being able to have access anymore. I think time is going to tell. I definitely think that whatever are the results of the lawsuits are going to play a massive role in all of this. And to answer TK's question, here's why we'll all continue watching wrestling, because we fell in love with wrestling for wrestling, not solely because of Vince McMahon.
Right.
Vince McMahon may have provided a platform. Vince McMahon may have created entities that we enjoy, but I maintain that it is these wrestlers and the sport and the art of pro wrestling that we're going to love and that we fell in love with, and that wasn't necessarily contingent upon Vince McMahon. So very, very interesting stuff. Boy, we have, oh gosh, there's more to talk about and very little time. There's a few places we can go. Let's see. Oh, yeah. All right, let's briefly.
You didn't want to land there.
I did not. That was not the plan. From Vince McMahon to Matt Riddle. This is, man, sometimes I shock myself with my own segues. Vince McMahon to Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle is the current New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Champion. So with that said, you'll find this quote interesting, that he was recently asked kind of what his future looks like. And he says, you know, I could see myself showing up in TNA or in AEW. But he also went on to say that wrestling on live TV is, in his words, quote, a poop storm.
Which I think we all know what he's saying
there. With all these like poop references this week, diarrhea, Dwayne, poop storm, like it's
Vince McMahon.
I just find this interesting. Wow. I just find that interesting because he's a company's television champion. So
are you referring to the appearing other places comment?
No, I'm referring to the comment of wrestling on live TV is a poop storm, but you're a television champion.
Make it make sense,
Matt Riddle. Make it make sense. Dark Side of the Ring premiered last night, season 5, for those who may have missed it. This season is going to be very, very interesting. It started off with a look at the life of Earthquake, a.k.a. John Tenta. Very, very, I thought it was a good story. It didn't have as dark of an ending as some of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes do. But these are some of the topics that will be handled in this season, including Sandman, Earthquake, Brutus Beefcake, Harley Race. And next week will be Buff Bagwell, which should be very interesting. And I'm interested to see at what point they stop filming, because there have been a lot of changes that have happened with Buff, certainly in the last 6 to 8 months. And I'm interested to see if those will actually be included in that. But again, you guys can check out Dark Side of the Ring, airing Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on Vice TV. And I believe it's on their mobile app as well. Happy birthday, Jordynne Grace. Her birthday is today, and she will be defending the TNA Knockouts Women's Championship, or the World Championship, at TNA Sacrifice this weekend. And she is, by and large, the odds-on favorite to win her matchup. I mean, they said something like negative 10,000 or something like that. The betting odds are really, really high in her favor. So I hope that that works out. I thought I had a slide on this, and I don't, but this is kind of where I want to end today, and I apologize. This news about Maxine Dupri, who kind of went viral because the people were booing her, apparently, at a live event, and she has gone on to actually have some conversation about her being under scrutiny, and she was asked on the Lightweights podcast whether or not she has been under more scrutiny than the average star. She had a lot to say, but some of what she said was, quote, "I think yes and no. I think at times people have really given me a lot of grace because I'm learning on live TV, and thankfully with my character, that's been said. So people are aware that these are my first reps." Her first time performing in front of a crowd, strangely enough, was on Monday Night Raw, if you can imagine how difficult that was. She says that she thinks people don't necessarily understand that she's trying to figure it out. She also thinks that she's a perfectionist. She's a people pleaser. So it's hard for her to be booed. And we didn't, I don't recall, talk about this specifically here on the show. So I think it would be interesting to think, what are your thoughts on the response and the reactions that we saw on the socials to Maxine Dupri? And does she owe anybody an explanation? Should she be at a certain level before she ends up on live television?
She reminds me very much of like Lana. Lana had a lot of scrutiny as well. And if you watched her doc that WWE put out, like, you know, from Ballerina, and, you know, it really affected her. I think no matter what, it kind of goes back to where we are in social media. Everybody has a platform now. Everybody thinks that because this is afforded to us, you know, their opinion matters. And it's kind of one of those things that WWE is the one who's giving her a check. Mm-hmm. So if they felt like she wasn't good enough, then she wouldn't be on TV. Of course, she's not Charlotte Flair, but you all have to start from you have to start from somewhere. And a lot of where it is with live television now, there's a few wrestlers who, like Jade, for instance, this is where you're starting. But I feel like the company, both AEW and WWE, they wouldn't give somebody this opportunity if they didn't believe that they weren't going to carry it through. Now, will she be a Charlotte Flair? I don't know. It's, you know, she might, one day it just might click and it all makes sense. And one day it just might not. Like, it's really just the time. But the fact that WWE believes in her, like, nothing else should really matter. However, when you get into the comments, you know, everybody is human. And especially if you have the degree of vitriol and hate coming towards you, you know, you are going to feel it. So I suggest she go and talk to Zoe Stark, and just do a post and ghost, post that mug, turn it off, live your life, do your best, put in the work, and, you know, keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, the people who are complaining, they're not on WWE's payroll. And I guarantee her check, not to say it's all about money, but she Gucci.
It's heftier than theirs, you know, like they Rhea Ripley, I believe, was one of the people who responded to the scrutiny that Maxine Dupri's been under. And she was like, well, I dare you to freaking do it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because like it takes guts. It takes a lot of thick skin to deal with being in front of thousands and thousands of people. And honestly, I think people should just give her a break. But I think she should also capitalize on it with a twist and completely utilize that as fuel to the fire for her to develop even better, and to for her to just say, hey, look what I'm doing now. I bet you didn't think that I would be this, you know, in a few years. Who's to say she wins a Money in the Bank in coming years, or a championship, or a tag team championship in coming years? And plus, why are you giving the girl a hard time? She is aligned with Chad Gable, everybody's favorite. Everybody loves Chad Gable, and everybody knows Chad Gable is a workhorse in and out of that ring, and he's completely helped her. You could totally tell in her development in the last year that, especially when they were just gonna have her as a manager or a modeling agency, complete turnaround. And I don't think that, I think that she should just handle it with grace. Don't let it affect her. Don't let people see it affect you, obviously, because we are human and things do affect us. But don't let people see it affect you. Deal with it, just take it all in stride, give yourself grace, and understand, and she understands that she's doing her best. And I just think that people need to be a little less critical on her, because we saw her when she was starting out. The pops were crazy when she did that suplex on Valhalla months ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's doing the thank you and everything like that. Like, where was this energy not for nothing for back in the day in the 90s? You know, with the divas, or and some people would even say that, I would even say that Trish was under a little bit of scrutiny in almost in the beginning, even though it wasn't as heavy because the 90s were a different time. And, you know, it was more about a look as opposed to skill. But Trish went through the same kind of thing. She was a sports model. She wasn't supposed to even be a wrestler, but she ended up doing it. And her and Lita completely changed the game from there. You know, but Maxxine Dupri just needs to take that and turn it into some honey spicy sassiness and call it a day and just say F these haters.
I'm gonna take a different approach to this, because people suck and bullying exists. If I were Maxxine Dupri, you gotta remember that she started in NXT as Sophia Cromwell, and she was just there for a cup of coffee before ultimately called up because they saw something in her. She has a pretty unique look, very young, and there's a lot of her career ahead of her. If I was her, I not just leaning into this. You remember when Saraya would get called out just for her return to the ring? She would call the trolls, fight back, talk about people's mama, put their profile pictures up. The same energy they give you, and lean into that hate, because that's the only way people are going to understand that you are here and they are there. So for that regard, there's a whole PC at the WWE. You think she's not training every day? You think she doesn't get paid to train? It's really unfair. And if I was a WWE writer and in the creative team, I would lean into that negative reaction. I would give you more Maxxine. I'd give you more Maxxine, give you more booze, lean into the character and put the Money in the Bank on her. And then from there, you develop a whole character shift around this persona, and you're selling merch, you're doing things, you're getting a reaction, just like Dom was getting a negative reaction. And he probably was never really that bad of a wrestler to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think he was literally just playing a bad wrestler on TV. His dad is the Lucha GOAT. I mean, let's be real. Mm-hmm. So I would lean into all of this negative reaction. It sucks that people are doing it to superstar that's so young, that's literally going to grow before our eyes over the next decade. But for fans who have been spoon-fed and spoiled by the last decade of women's wrestling, you don't have to look that far back to see what it used to be. Mm-hmm. You really don't. The bra and panties matches and things like that, you don't have to look that far back to remember what it used to be to see, like, we're in a great era. And everybody's going at their own speed. But it's like, if it's not your taste, you don't got to like shit on somebody for that. They're all like, which brings up an interesting point. It would be very cool if people can like, if pro athletes can sign up to boo people at their personal jobs. it'd be very dope if you can do that. So like, if pro athletes can kind of flip the script.
Yeah.
They need to make a television show solely on that.
So let's go to some of these comments before I say anything that I feel like saying. Cousin Ron says, referencing Riddle, in the words of Tyra Banks, we were all rooting for you. I agree. Then there's MDB, who says, at the end of the day, how long do you expect the grace period to be if you suck at your job? We got to call a spade, being nice isn't good business. He continues. Everyone was on Dom Mysterio for being mid in the ring, but Maxxine is exempt. Why? Jeffrey responds and says she will get better. It's all about a learning process. She isn't going to be fluid overnight. At least she's trying and putting in work. To you, honey, MDB said you're comparing apples to oranges. Meanwhile, Cousin Ron said, preach, honey. I love what's happening here.
Me too.
Jeffrey says Ariane and Cameron weren't the best, but she was trying too hard. And so to that end, I will say.
Yeah, no, he put AKA after.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. To that end, I will say that it is always easy for people to criticize somebody in something that they've never done. You know, it happens in every professional sport where everybody says, oh, you should have just did that instead of doing this. You should have thrown that, or you should have run instead of throwing the pass. You should have, how did you not catch that? All of these things, and those same people cannot get on the field and do what those people do. Here's what I'm going to tell you why this bothers me. And we criticize everyone and everything. Well, we all don't. That's a generalization. Not everybody is super critical. But what I will say is this: until you have worked in this business, gotten in the ring, you know, or been that close, you really don't have anything you can say in terms of how somebody should do their job. Just consider this. Would you be comfortable going out in front of anywhere, but whether it's an indie show of 200 to 300 people or a larger show where there's 5 to 10,000, maybe even 15,000 people? Would you even be comfortable walking out there? That's the first thing. Secondly, would you be comfortable going out there with nearly no clothes on? Thirdly, would you be comfortable going out there with no clothes on and then having to talk and not getting any words wrong? Then would you then be comfortable going out there and doing all sorts of amazing moves and not injuring yourself or anybody else? The answer to that is no. And I don't care how much you say hell yeah on here. The answer is no. And so here's what I'm going to say. This is part of the problem, I think, with wrestling fans is everybody thinks they're so tough until they actually get an opportunity to do this. And that's the other thing. Thank you, Jeffrey. You do all of that and then you get no reaction.
Yes.
Right? Like it's a cruel, cold world sometimes. And so I think sometimes the people who swear up and down they can do this, they know they can't. And I'm not really, what I will say is this: the same grace that you give to others will be given to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're wildly critical of all these people and what they do in the space of wrestling, when you make your next mistake, and because you're human, you're guaranteed to do that, expect that same level of grace from the people in your world. And so to that end,
how do we not have organs for these moments yet? Damn it. Get the organs.
Yo.
And so to that point, I say, you know, it's really, and I keep falling for this, but so be it. You know, I'm not being critical. I'm being real. Well, I'll say this: real is relative. Okay.
Yes.
Everyone's reality is relative. And if you think being real is being critical, oh, wow, I'm a man. I don't expect grace from many. Well, then that's on you, sir. And I would like to offer you far more understanding and grace-filled communities, because there's an awful lot of life that you're missing because you're choosing to not expect grace. Thusly, you're not giving grace. And it's not because you're a man. Because there are a lot of men who are willing to give grace. I'm being one of them. So with all of that said,
MDB.
I'm trying to be discreet with eating this sandwich. I'm hungry. Oh. I drove for 2 hours.
Yeah, well, listen. And so to that end, I think here's Dom is a great example. I think we have to learn the difference between us not liking a character being presented and someone's actual skill. Mm-hmm. Because the same Dominic Mysterio that people were screaming and hollering about was the MVP of 2023, who wrestled the second most amount of matches, I believe, on anybody in the WWE roster.
was just put on a believable match with Gunther on Monday. Believable.
An incredible match with Gunther. My God. Incredible. Think about this. God. He was the man that could be trusted with CM Punk's first match in WWE in 10 years. Consider that, right? So I think sometimes in the space of wrestling, we confuse characters that we don't like with wrestling ability. You have to understand that certain characters don't afford you the opportunity to see their full wrestling ability, because some characters aren't fully about wrestling ability. If it's about irritating you, then I can't show you everything that I can do. Reminds me of the Big Show.
Good when point.
He was the Giant in WWE. As the Giant in WWE, he kept trying to show people what he could do. So here is this Giant, 7 foot tall, 500 pounds, throwing drop kicks off the top rope.
Yeah.
Didn't make sense. And then they told him, you're a giant. Giants don't throw drop kicks. Stop doing that. And he stopped doing that, and we started seeing him as a giant. So I think we got...
How many people knew Nia could do aerial assault before Monday?
That part.
Hello.
That part. You know? So it's not like some of them have just learned it. They're exhibiting enough self-control to say, this is my character. Here's a great example. And this is going a bit old school, and I'm sorry, we're going way over time, but George the Animal Steel was...
Did you just start raising her hands? Is that what we were doing? Oh. Is that what you was raising?
My power is about to go out again, so...
Oh, no. Yeah. See, that's why we need to hurry up. George the Animal Steel... was known for his green
biting a turnbuckle
and biting a turnbuckle and doing nothing that had anything to do with wrestling. And most didn't know he was actually an English professor, right? Like, so there are people with greater skills that their character only calls for them to do X, Y, and Z. So to that end, I think Maxine is learning, and my God, of all the places to learn pro wrestling, on the number one wrestling show in the world, that's a difficult place to do it. So congratulations to her for being courageous enough to do that. And I'm interested to see in the development that she'll have over the next couple of years. But as wrestling fans, I think we have the opportunity to do a better job of being supportive to these wrestlers. And if we don't like what they're doing, there are thousands of other wrestlers you can support, you know, without having to try to dog another wrestler that's out there to prove a particular point. So with all of that said, thank you guys for letting us bend your ear. You guys have hung out with us, and you're strong in number today, and I appreciate it. Said, let the people know how they can reach out to you.
Couture to Monday, I will actually plug my stuff today. You can find me here Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays. You can find me on Twitter at Said Says, just like it says right there, on the gram at Said Is the Answer, and I also write for Daily DDT. Blame Jacob DeLawrence if there's not going to be an NXT post show at some point. I don't know what's going on with that, but there will be content for Women's History Month. So if you have any ideas about somebody you would like me to write about, shoot them my way and I'll make it happen.
Awesome. Awesome. Wrestling with Honey.
Excellent. You can find me here Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays as well with WWT. You can also find me doing some segments on Mondays and Fridays called Honey Pop Predictions via Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me Wrestling with Honey on all platforms except for Facebook, Wrestling W Honey, just to be sure. You can also find me coming up soon with Sports Mark Analyst. We're going to be doing our prediction show for WrestleMania coming up in a couple of weeks because it's almost here, 31 days away. And also check out my interview with Kyle Collision and Detroit Knockout Podcast and the crew over there as well. We did a little something last night during NXT, which was a lot of fun. And shout outs to them for having me, and shout outs to WWT.
Of course.
And Boss Lady being back.
Yes, the Boss Lady is back. You guys can find me at Bonner Fight on all of the platforms. And Got some cool content on there that you guys can check out. So be on the lookout for that. You can check out my commentary work with Southern Honor and IWE on IWTV. I've got two big shows with them this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So looking forward to that. Then you can check out my commentary work with All Caribbean Wrestling and the Nightmare Factory on their YouTube page. And I believe I've got a Nightmare Factory show coming up a little bit later this month. And a whole wrestling school with people who are having their first matches. That's always fun to see, and it's amazing to see what they're able to learn in that period of time. You can also check me out with Ashe Wrestling, all kinds of fun there, and check out their two shows at ashewrestling.com. And the Boss Lady is back, so it only makes sense that she closes out the show. Boss Lady, the world is yours.
Woo! Did we play a commercial?
We did not.
Okay, no worries. We get it at the very end. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you guys for rocking with us. I really, really appreciate it. Yes, some great things are coming. Some great interviews are dropping. Definitely go and support the homie Evan T. Mac. His interview with Mercedes is dropping tomorrow. Some exclusives coming with that. Tomorrow's Thursday. I thought tomorrow's Friday. Anyways, check out all our social media at WW Talk Pod. All our website, www.talkpod.com. All our shows, a couple shows will be debuting leading up to WrestleMania that I'm excited about as well. You can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. I think that's it. And I guess when Sed sells his WWT stock,
release the shares.
It will be available.
Release the shares
to get it. So we'll be on this with that. That being said, thank you guys so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao for now.
Hey, yo, you. Yeah, you that's watching this. You sitting on the couch staring at the screen not knowing what you want to do, like this is an online college. Are you tired of wearing shirts that make you look like an extra stuck in catering? Do you want to step your wrestling swag game up to the next level? Then Women's Wrestling Talk has got you covered. Like, literally. Are you for life in pink or black and white? Or maybe you're the EST and people need to respect you accordingly. Want to put some pride in your stride and show off the muscle in your hustle? Then make sure you check out the WWT store. Not now, but right now. All right? What you waiting for? Head to www.talkpodstore.com and don't make me fight you. Shit.
What's up, guys? It's your girl, Red Velvet, from straight out of your mama's kitchen, doing what I do best, stirring it up, and you are now watching Women's Wrestling Talk.